Amen. Thank you, Miss Karen. Appreciate that. Turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 9. Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9. And while you're turning there, let me, with all the things going on with the sweetheart banquet, there was some preparation. And this is going to sound funny, but we have a 10-pound bag of potatoes that somebody could buy. Because they were going to, oh, you're just taking four? And rolls, lots of rolls. So if that would be something you'd be interested in, it's a 10-pound bag, it's like $6. And they're red potatoes. And then we've got some rolls. Where's Steve when I need him? And then they have some bags of rolls there. We had some salad, but I think you got one yet. I think that's the last one. All right? Okay. You said you wanted one. But I think that's the last bag of the salad there. But anyway, the rest of it we were getting elsewhere, and we were able to cancel that by 12 and not get that. So just see Miss Olga about that. But if you like some of those things, just see Miss Olga. Wave her hand, Miss Olga. Most everybody knows Miss Olga. But so if you could do that, appreciate that. And I really do want you to think, now the Bible conference is next Sunday, all right? So really, don't you think about what's March. Well, that's a long way away. No, it's next Sunday. March 1st is next Sunday. And Brother Sam's will be here all day. And of course, it's supposed to snow on Saturday. But we are going to do our very best here. And then we have Monday night, and then Tuesday morning, and Tuesday night. If you can stay for lunch on Tuesday morning at 12:15, we'd be glad to have you. There's a little sign-up sheet out there just to kind of get an idea. I think they've actually turned it over their back and they're signing on the back. So if it's not full, it didn't run out of space, you can't come in. But anyway, we want you to be there, and it will be a great time. We need those 1-2 punches. All right. If you can't come for the first speaker on Monday and Tuesday night, can't come at 7. You can make it by 8. Come in for the 8. If you got to come in 7, but you got to leave because you got to go to work at 4 o'clock in the morning, and you got to leave by the 8 o'clock. You can come in 1. Come get what you can. We kind of flip flopped them, so you get to hear each of the guys before they're done. So we really want to encourage you to do that. Make an extra effort. Well, I got to come in my work clothes. Come in your work clothes. Be here. All right. Be here, and I want you to be here. All right. Mark chapter 9, if you will, and. We're actually going to look at the two parallel passages briefly before we're done here this morning. Mark chapter 9, and let's pray first because there's a lot I'm going to say and I'm afraid I'll forget. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your blessings. I thank you for your word. And Lord, I thank you for the encouragement it gives us. We thank you for the instruction in righteousness. And Lord, there is some correction and some rebuke in there, some reproving. And yet, Lord, all that reproving is not to make us feel bad, but to help us to walk more in your ways, more in your paths, more in your steps, so that we can have greater victory. And Lord, even when you chasten us, you chasten us as a father who chastens his son, so that we can become great and rise up in the arms of faith. And Lord, I pray that you bless us here. Lord, it's important principles. I wish we'd have more here this morning to hear this, but Lord, you know all about it. You knew what was going to happen. You sent the snow, so Lord, we're going to do what we can here this morning. Lord, I pray that you'll bless. Pray that your Holy Spirit will move and do a work in our hearts. And Lord, help us to walk by faith, because nothing is impossible for those who believe. Lord, I pray that you'll bless it. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Mark chapter 9, verse number 14, if you will. Mark chapter 9, verse number 14. And of course, when you get to this point, the Mount of Transfiguration has just happened, and so they saw Jesus in his glory, and you could say that's a picture of heaven, and it is. And then when he comes down off of the mountain, he comes back down into the mess, into the multitudes, he has disciples down there, and you could say that's kind of a picture of the world. It's kind of a picture of life here on earth. And so he comes down in here in chapter 9, verse number 14, it says, and when he, Jesus, came to his disciples. Now remember, there was 3 on the Mount of Transfiguration with him. That means there were 7 down at the bottom doing what they were doing. Okay, they were in their midst of things. So he comes kind of in the middle of a controversy, if you will. He comes in the middle of an issue going on. And he sees him. He came to his disciples, verse 14. And he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. So he walks down kind of a middle. It's kind of like if you went to the grocery store and you heard a lot of confusion on the aisle next door, and you walked in, and there was your kids, and everybody was yelling and talking and chatting, your kids were in the middle of it. It's kind of like, oh my, here we go. What did they do? That's kind of where what we're talking about here. And the ones that were questioning him were the scribes. You could kind of say some of the religious bosses. I mean, if your child was in the next aisle and the manager of the store was giving your child a talking to, you kind of think, okay, what are we doing now? What are we in the midst of? But, of course, he also knew that the scribes were not always on his side. And so there's this crowd that gathered around the disciples, and there was a controversy, if you will. That word questioning has the idea of controversy. Verse 15, and straightway, or immediately, all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. So here they are, over here, having this controversy with the disciples, and people are watching, and they're hearing the scribes talk to the disciples, and the disciples are apparently trying to explain what's going on to the scribes, and all this thing, and all of a sudden they see Jesus. And this whole crowd picks up and moves over here to Jesus to tell him what's going on. Did you see what's going on here? They got, I'm glad you're here. This has been a mess. It's just, oh, I'm just so glad you're here. And so we get Jesus in on this. So straightway we beheld him. We're greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. So here, hey, here's Jesus. Let's see what he says and what he can do about this. Verse 16. And he asked the scribes, Jesus says, what question ye with them? What are you trying to stir up now? Is almost really what he's saying. Well, see, the disciples had failed to help the boy, and the scribes were going to get as much mileage out of this that they could. And we're going to see that there was this young boy who had seizures, if you will. It was demonic, but it was a mess. It almost looked like an epileptic type of seizure. Would cast him about, and the father had brought him to the disciples to heal. And they had failed to be able to do anything about it. And so the scribes are going to get as much mileage out of this as they can. Oh, well, you're running around with Jesus. He's the healer. And you still can't do this. You know, it's almost like, well, you're a Christian. You're not supposed to mess up. You're not allowed to mess up. You know, you're supposed to have it all together. And we should have as much together as we can. It's not an excuse. But we got to be careful when we start looking down our noses at other Christians because they don't have it all together. None of us have it all together. Sometimes I think we all think everybody else has it all together but us. And so it's their job to make up for my lack. No. Anyway, so they're trying to get a lot of things. And by the way, Satan loves to point that out. Boy, he loves to point out the failures where we've come up short. And if we're not careful, when we come up short, we'll actually say, "Well, I guess I'm just a failure as a Christian too. Might as well just give up, stop worrying about it, just let it all go to pieces." And then you let it all go to pieces, and you get far enough down, and say, "Well, this isn't any good either." And you go back to God. Meantime, we cause a lot of extra new problems in our lives. You know, don't go there. Don't go there. Don't let anybody get you going. Get you down. Verse 17. One of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. That doesn't mean it was an unintelligent spirit. It meant it can't speak, all right? Causes the boy not to be able to speak. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth. And in other words, he's having these seizures. And it just, I mean, almost kind of like if you know somebody who's ever had a grandma seizure. It just, I'm one myself here. Seizure. It gets to the point where you just go all over the place. And so it's not a nice thing at all. And it says, and he pineth away. Means he's wasting away to nothing. He's having these seizures all the time. He can't hardly eat. He's withering away to nothing. And he said, if we don't get something, if something doesn't happen, we're going to lose him. And he says, and I spake to the disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. Now when we as God's servants are living in the flesh and not living by faith, we're going to be pretty poor witnesses of the power of God. And we're making it look like the world is making it like, we're making it look like to the world that God is powerless. And we're going to see some things here. We're going to find that there were some issues that the disciples had, and it's a very common issue. And they're trying to live life in their own power and in their own strength. And when we do that, we don't have what it takes to get the job done. Say it that way. Before long, the old world says, well, just guess that Christian thing, that Jesus thing doesn't work. So he says, they could not cast him out. They couldn't do it. Verse 19. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. Now that word faithless means non-trusting, disbelieving. And we're going to talk about that a little bit here in a few moments. But you say, well, I believe. I trust. Do you? Don't you think the disciples knew who Jesus was? It wasn't too long ago. Listen, we've been through Matthew. We went through all this. It wasn't too long before this where they said, we know that you're the Messiah. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, well, flesh and blood hasn't revealed that to you, but my Father, which is in heaven, he's revealed. The Spirit has come upon you. So they knew who he was. So it's not just knowing who Jesus is. It's not just believing that he can. He says, faithless generation. That word generation means like an age, a time in history, an era, a certain society or economy, a way of a philosophy of thinking in society. This is this bunch. He says, this time we're living in. He says, this generation. All they talk about one thing and talk about another thing, but they talk all religious. But the fact is, they really don't truly trust. He's saying, when are you all going to learn to trust me? Are you like the rest of the heathen world? You have the word of God to teach you, and you have had me with you all this time. Have you not learned by now that power is with God? Verse 20. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, immediately, straightway, the Spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. Let me say this. We're going to get some principle while we're walking through. I'm going to throw some things here at you. When you decide to come to Jesus, when you decide I'm going to trust him, I'm going to do what's right. This is what the preacher's been saying. This is what the Bible's been saying. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to take a step and I'm going to bring my problem to Jesus. Well, what happened? The closer the power of this world gets to Jesus and his power, the more they try to frighten us and fight us. The closer you get to Jesus and his healing power, the more you can expect to see Satan and the world fight you and tear at you in hopes to scare you back away from God and just maintain that awful status quo that you've been living all your life. You follow what I'm saying? They bring him to Jesus, and so the old demon, he fights all the harder. George, I guess we better not get so close to the church because, you know, when I get close to church, it stirs up stuff around the house. Of course it does. Satan doesn't want you to get worked out to do right. Of course he doesn't. This is the closer. I've had people say, well, the closer I get to the Lord, the more problems I have. Well, of course you do. Absolutely you do. But they're not any bigger for God. Well, I said I was going to do right, and all of a sudden the car broke down. Now I don't have any money for this, and now I don't have this, and I don't have that. We start going to church, and I tell you what, we have had more fussing and fighting around the house with the kids than we've had in 10 years. I guess it just doesn't work for us. keep moving in the right direction. Amen. Keep moving toward him, not away from him. Look at verse 21. And he asked his father, Jesus asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. You know what else we do? We've got this problem. And we've had a long time. And after all these years, it never does seem to get any better. So why do we expect God to fix it now? Because now we're coming to God. Now we're coming to God. So how long has it been? Oh, it's been a long time. And people think, well, since it's been so long, apparently it's never going to get better by itself. This is not something's going to work itself out. And Jesus, by the way, Jesus is making sure they realize this is not something that's going to work itself out. This is not going to get better all by itself. Verse 22, and oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on him and help us. If God cares, and he does, we know his character, which is love and mercy. We've been talking about that. And if God can do something about this, and he can, because we know his attributes, he's omniscient, he's omnipotent, he's omnipresent, he's immutable, he's eternal, he can do anything, anywhere, anytime. If he can, well then let's bring it to him. Verse 23, Jesus said unto him, here it is, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. The only thing stopping God from doing something big is simply our unwillingness to exercise our faith in God. Why believe? Exercising our faith in God. There's a difference. Verse 25. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying to him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. Now, when we trust God, Satan wants us to think that it was a mistake. Because he wants us to stop trusting. Well, a lot of good that did. I have found that sometimes God has to make it look like it's totally impossible before he's going to do something, because he wants you to know that he did it. You go back and read the story of Gideon. You got too many boys out there. Let's knock them down. They knock them down and knock them down until they come up with 300. So she said, if you went in with all those folks, you couldn't say you did it. I don't want you to think that you did it. I want you to know that I did it. Take the 300. Don't even give them a sword. Just give them a trumpet in one hand and a light in the other hand. You know, sound the praise and shed the light. Let's see what happens. And I'll do the fighting for you. So he cast the demon out of this little boy, and there he lays. Didn't even look like he was breathing. So a lot of good that did. Dead. Sometimes God gives you a vision to do something for him. When I say a vision, I'm not talking about that. But he impresses upon your heart to do something. And one of the things he does, after he gives you that vision, he allows that vision to die. He said, you got this, says, I think we can do this. I think we can do this. I think God wants us, I'm going to take the step, and I'm going to do right this time. And about time you start doing right, it's almost like he pulls the rug out from underneath of you and lets it die. He wanted you to know which direction to head, but he wanted you to realize you're going to do it with his power and not yours. You take that vision, you commit your way unto him, and he shall bring it to pass. He'll establish your thoughts, then you take those thoughts, you give it back to him, and he'll bring it to pass. You've got to let him do it. Sometimes you get to the point where you say, well, it's never going to work. Was it right to do? Well, I know it's what God was, but it'll never work. Then just keep moving that direction. Verse 27, but Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose.
When you think everything's dead and everything's gone, just take Jesus' hand again. So here we go. I need you. Come on. Don't stop. Sometimes, listen, it was bad enough he had these seizures. It was bad enough when he got close to Jesus, it tore him worse. But then when finally Jesus got his hands on him, the guy looks like he's dead. Getting worse all the time, not better. Maybe, listen, at least the boy was alive. Maybe I shouldn't even brought him to Jesus. No. When everything looks totally impossible, just keep taking his hand. Keep taking his hand. Lord, just tell me what to do next. Tell me what to do next. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately. Watch this. Why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. I got three main points here I want you to hear this morning. You came into the snow, I'm going to give you the whole load. Didn't get any Sunday school this morning, so here we go. Ready? Number one, use the faith that you already have. Use the faith you have. Why don't you turn to Mark? Well, I'm sorry. Verse 22. It says this. It says, and oftentimes he hath cast him into the fire and into the waters, destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, watch. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And I kind of skipped verse 24, didn't I? Here it is. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. He said, I believe. But I got doubts. Do you realize almost all faith, and I should say all faith, has at least a certain element of doubt. Because it's not totally known. In other words, we're trusting something, and we may be trusting the character of God, we may be trusting the attributes of God, but the fact is we haven't seen it happen yet. Let's say it this way, there's total disbelief, and then there's sight. You've actually seen it happen. You know it's true. Faith is somewhere in between the two of those. Somewhere between total disbelief and sight. I don't know where it may be, but the fact is, faith is somewhere in between there. And we need to have enough faith to simply move on what we believe. That's all we need. He says, I believe. He says, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father cried out, and said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Now listen, all the man needed was faith as a grain of mustard seed. If you were to go to Matthew 17, verse 20, it's the same story. This is what it says. They asked him, why couldn't we do this? Why couldn't we do this? Chapter 17, verse 20 says, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place. And it shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. But they believe who he is. They said who he was. They know he's the Messiah, that he's the Christ, the Son of the living God. The faith is to be in God, and nothing is impossible with God. And if God moves on my behalf, then nothing is impossible to us. You understand? If God moves on your behalf, then nothing is impossible. We just need enough faith to move. Enough faith to act on the faith.
It is God that does the work, not us. It is not our faith that moves the mountain. It is enough faith to rely on the eternal God to move the mountain. The God moves the mountain. If we exercise the faith we do have, God will show himself great and he will increase our faith and we will have more faith to exercise. He says, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Now watch me. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Okay, watch me. I'll guarantee you all of us stumble someplace, fall short someplace in our faith in God. But the fact is, you came here this morning in this mess with enough faith to say there's probably something in the Word of God to help me this morning. So you know what you said this morning? I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. I believe, but I want more. Now there were some things, listen, there's some things that the disciples had already done. They had done some great things. He'd already sent them out. And he even came back and said, ha, ha, the demons are even subjected unto me. And he said, whoa. Just be glad that the fact is your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Don't get all excited about who you think you are and what you've done. It was God that did it anyway. But so just take your step. Do what God has told you to do. Walk by faith. He says, I believe. Help thou not my unbelief. Listen, you came here this morning. You said, I believe the Word of God can do something in my life, but I want more. I want to rise up and higher number in faith. There's some things that okay. You took a step this morning and says there's something in the Bible that's probably I ought to know, so you took the faith, the steps, and you did that. And so we're going to come, we're talking about some things about faith. The fact is, there's some folks who are going to hear this message this morning, and they're going to say, you know what, that there's something in my life that that has bothered me for probably the last 20 years, and I just really felt like it was too big, and I'll never get over it, and there's no way for me ever have the victory. But you know what? I learned in the Word of God here this morning, nothing is impossible to them who believe. You know what? I think God can do this. And I'm going to start taking some steps in that direction. I'm going to start taking some steps. I don't know how he's going to do this, but I'm going to take some steps toward that answer, toward what God would have me do to give me the victory over these things. James chapter 2. You got your Bible? Turn to it real quick. James chapter 2. You know where I'm going if you've been around for a while. James chapter 2, verse number 17. This is the longest out of the 2 points, 3 points here, just so you know. Just going to read this scripture here. Try not to make too many comments, but here we go. James 2:17. Back in the Hebrews, James, right? Even so, faith, verse 17, if it hath not works, is dead. Now, how much good you're going to get out of faith that's dead, stagnant, not moving? There's no life in it. There's no action going on. It's dead. He says, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith. Look, this is important. I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. You know what that says? Lord, I believe. He says, help thou mine unbelief. See, I believe that God is, and I know who he is, but, verse 20, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. He says, I believe. I know there's a God, but I want to go further than that. Because I'm not getting anything done just believing there's a God. By the way, you're not going to get to heaven just believing there's a God. Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. So you want to go one step further. Why? Because he says, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You believe in God, that's good, but you got to get Jesus in on this. It's not just Allah, it's not Buddha, it's not any of these other guys. It's the Lord Jehovah and his son, Jesus Christ. You don't have it any other way. So verse 21, he says, was not Abraham, our father, justified Let's say it this way. Justified in being called faithful. Justified in being seen as believing. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. Let's say it this way. Stepping out on our faith completes the faith because you have exercised it. It is no good, faith is no good to believe if we're not willing to act upon it. When Peter saw Jesus coming walking on the water, he said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come. And Jesus said, come on out. The water's nice. And so he got out of the boat. And he walked on water. Until when? Took his eyes off the Lord. Got him on the waves. And boom, down he went. But wait a minute. When he went down, did he swim back to the boat? No. He said, Lord, save me. So for a second there, he was drowning. But the fact is, he didn't turn back. He went further out into the water and says, Lord. And Jesus grabbed his hand and brought him further out. And then he took him to the boat. Right? Yeah. So listen, he might have had a little glitch in his faith there, though, but he knew what he was believing in. He made a step. That would have never happened if he had not acted upon it. If he sat there in that boat and said, I wonder if I could do that. Probably could. What do you think? I'm not going out there. Yeah, you're probably right. Would have never walked on water. By the way, there's 11 other boys in the boat who didn't. So you say, well, man, I'm going out there on a limb all by myself. That's where the power is. Now, don't make limbs for yourself, but that's where the power is. He didn't say, hey, I'm getting out of the boat, and then I'm going to force God to save me. He says, Lord, if you tell me to come, I'll come. So the Lord says, come on, boy. Come on. And he did. Verse 23, James. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God. Why? Because he was willing to sacrifice his son. It was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called, watch this, the friend of God. Abraham's faith was only in a mental assent to the facts until he was willing to actually step out on the limb and put his faith into action. Verse 24. You see then how that by works a man is justified, not by faith only. In other words, I cannot justifiably claim faith unless I am willing to live by the faith I claim. I cannot claim faith until I'm willing to live by the faith I claim. In other words, put your money where your mouth is. If you believe it, act upon it. If you're not willing to act upon it, then you just understand it. You don't have faith in it yet. Now, sometimes, well, I don't know what God's going to do, but I do know God can do something. I don't know what he's going to do, but I know he can do it. That's worth saying, I believe his character, his love and his mercy, his truth and his righteousness. I believe in his power, his attributes, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, never changing, always will be, exactly who he is. So I know that nothing changes. So I don't know what he wants, and I'm not sure where I'm going, but I'm going to go with him. I'm going his direction. I'm going to do what I do know is right to do. Watch this. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I'm not going to find it at the bottom of a bottle. Right? If I believe that, and I believe that wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging, and he deceived thereby is not wise. If I believe that, I'm going to do my best to stay away from that. I'm not saying I'm not going to get enticed back into it once in a while. I'm not saying I haven't had any problem with it. No, I'm just hypothetically here. I may say, well, I got a buddy. He brought a bottle over. And I got, well, you ought to say, get out of here. Take that thing out of there. Go throw it in the trash. Come back and talk to me or something. But stay away from it. If you really believe it, then you're going to make some motions toward it. I'm going to say all of a sudden you got victory over it all. But I tell you what, you're going to say, well, I know it's not good. And I know that what I need to do is the joy of the Lord is my strength. I need to get myself underneath the hearing of the Word of God. I need to get my nose in the book. I need to come to RU and get some more on Friday night. I ought to be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I ought to get every time I get a chance to get the Word of God in me. I need to do it because faith comes with a hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. Verse 25 says, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works. If you know the story, Joshua was going to come in and they sent some spies in, two spies to go see what Jericho, the first city there over across Jordan, when they entered into the promised land. And they ran around there and this gal, she was a lady of ill repute, but she hid these guys. She said, we've heard all about your God, I believe. I've heard about your God. We've heard these stories for 40 years about how you came out of Egypt and how God opened up the Red Sea and how he's done some amazing things. He's kept over a million people in the middle of the wilderness where there's no Walmarts, no grocery stores, and he's fed you. If they needed water, he brings it out of a rock. You need to eat, it comes down out of heaven. Decide you're going to have a chicken fry, he sends meat in there. I mean, it's just amazing what God has done. We've heard about you. And you're going to come, you're coming here toward our city? We're toast. Is there any way I could head out with you guys when you show up in town? And he says, well, tell you what you do. Hang this scarlet robe, this scarlet rope out your window here. And I'll tell you what, just so we, because her house was built into the wall itself. By the way, that whole wall was supposed to come down. He says, whoever you have at your house will be saved. So apparently, you know what she did? She went out and told a bunch of people. She had her family in there. Got him in the house. Rahab the harlot. Ends up being David's grandmother, great-grandmother. What was it? Great-grandmother. King David. She's in the line of Christ. Now she believed. We had to go one step further, throw the rope out the window. Says there, Rahab the harlot, justified by her works. He knew she had faith. Why? Because she was willing to go out on a limb with it. When she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as the body within the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. I cannot really get credit for having faith unless I'm willing to live by faith I claim. Myself by living in such a way that unless God keeps his promise, I'm in trouble. Now again, I don't need to go out looking for places to get myself into a pinch like that. There's plenty of all that comes at you every day. Read your book and read a book and it tells you how to live. And every time you think, well, that'll never work, do it. Because that's what faith does. So it makes no sense, but I'm going to do it. It justifies me. In other words, it says that boy has faith. He has faith. I ought to let you go home right now. But don't put your shoes on. Number two. Matthew. Go back to Matthew with me, please. Matthew 17. I talked about something. I'll do one more here. So faith is not just believing. Faith is stepping out on that faith. It's trusting it. It's putting yourself in the position where, at risk, if you will. Matthew 17, 14 says it this way. And when they were come to the multitude, same story, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic. That was Dr. Hudson's life verse, he said. Have mercy on me, my son's a lunatic. But anyway, his son is Tony Hudson. But anyway, ha! You got to hear him preach sometime. You never heard anything when you heard Tony Hudson preach. He's almost as big. He's not 7 foot, but he makes up for it for the other side. But anyway, he's a big man. I mean, he actually is a world class weightlifter. I don't know whether you knew that. He's actually a world class weightlifter, but he's a big boy, and he get the preacher. Ha! You know, and all this. Anyway, he's from the South. It says, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Watch this now. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation. This account, I'll make sure that word was put, it was there, but not every account gives every word because of what they were aiming to do with the account there. He says, perverse generation. That word perverse means twisted, distorted, has a distorted view of things, means going down the wrong path. When it says they perverted their way, it means they just stopped doing what they were supposed to do and they headed down the wrong way. He's not thinking. He says, here we got a generation, a society. We've got a group of people. He says, not only are they faithless, but because they're faithless, they're kind of getting off path here. They're wandering around. Well, say, I'm not sure if that's going to work. Let's try this over here. It looks good. Well, you know what? When I did this, it got worse first. So I'm not good. Let's back up off away from there. You know, they brought him to Jesus, and it got worse. He could have backed up. Peter got out of the boat. It got worse. He could have backed up. But no, even when it gets worse, you stay on the same path. Don't pervert your way. Don't get twisted. Don't get off on the wrong path. He says, thou faithless and perverse generation, age and society, time of thinking, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Verse 18. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto him, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, watch, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence in yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Now watch verse 21. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Now watch me. He says, if you believe, remember we said, nothing is impossible to them that believe. In the other account, we know that's the truth. And he says, if you have the grain of a mustard seed, you can move the mountain. Nothing is impossible to you. But then he says, this kind can't go out but by prayer and fasting. Well, what was the problem? He says, this is a faithless and a perverse generation. Now, you take faithless and perverse, and we're going to contrast it to prayer and fasting. Now, some of you have been here with me when I went through this before, but I want you to stand here. Prayer is, that word is supplication. It's with the knowledge of who and what God is. Prayer, praying without ceasing. Spending your life with the knowledge of who God is. God's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent. He can do anything. He's immutable, never changes. He's eternal, always has been, always will be. He loves me. He cares for me. He's mercy. He spared not his own son. Shall he not with him also give us all things? We know who he is. We're talking to the one who can do it all. That's prayer. But then it says,
See, if I'm really praying, I'm spending my time, then I'm not faithless. But he said, perverse. Let's contrast that with fasting. So what? Listen, fasting means to abstain from feeding the flesh. Abstain from appeasing the flesh. Now it's 11:45. The little alarm starting to go off. About here. Do you hear it growl? Here, listen. You know what I'm saying? Esau came in and said, "Oh, my soul, been out all day, Jacob. I'm going to die of starvation. Well, give me your birthright, and I'll give you a bowl of soup." All right, what good is a birthright if I'm dead? That's how we look at our flesh. Well, I couldn't help it. Well, I was just emaciated. Very few emaciated people in here. We're going to survive. That's how we look at flesh. So what do we do? Well, I know that's where I'm supposed to go. I believe it. But you know, right now, I don't think I can do it because I got to go for a lunch break. I got to go for a flesh break. Huh? I've got this little thing that, see, if I get that satisfied, then I can get back on the track. What, you know, if I stop over here at Taco Bell, And get myself something, a big greasy taco here. Then I can get back up here and I'll be able to go some more because, you know, then I'll be able to do it. Wait a minute. What about God? What about His power? What about His strength? He says these things don't happen except for prayer and fasting. In other words, we've got to deal with the faithlessness and the perverseness. We abstain from feeding the flesh. What side of you are you trying to strengthen in order to get the victory? The flesh and the human side or the spiritual side? Many will abstain from prayer and they'll abstain from church and they'll abstain from Bible reading because they think they do not have time for those things because they need time to build up their flesh and their physical attributes in order to meet the demands of the day. Some people will get so involved in seeking the power and the blessings of God that the things of the flesh has taken a back seat in their lives and they don't even think about that anymore. It's called fasting. If you truly have faith, you will pray. I believe. Lord, help my unbelief. You ever got down your knees and said, "I don't know if this is going to work, but this is what I got to do. It's the next step. In fact, it should be the first step." You can do all kinds of things after you pray, but there's really not much you can do before you pray. It's living in His presence. If you truly have faith that God can do anything and that He's loving and He's merciful, and if He spared not His own Son, will He not also give us all things? If you truly believe that, ask Him. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Anything you ask in my name, I shall give it. All we got to do is find out what He wants and start asking for it. Do you know He wants you to have a victorious Christian life? He wants you to overcome the desire to get drunk or do drugs. He wants that. It's His will. Well, if you ask anything in His will, you shall have it. Well, when's the last time you said, "Lord, take this away. Lord, take this away. Lord, take this away. Lord, take this away." Now, you don't sit there with your glass of beer and say, "Lord, take this away. Take this away. I really don't want to be doing this, Lord." you throw it down the drain, you don't bring any more back in. You know. You don't smoke, you don't chew, you don't run with the girls who do. If you truly want to stop perverting your way, you will stay away from those things that entice you to pervert your way. That's called fasting. It means abstaining from something that appeases the flesh. You believe, right? Let's keep moving. Help thou mine unbelief. You've got to believe enough to want to believe more. How about that? Are you willing to have faith? Are you willing to have the trust that you need? We cannot get victory over the big things in life if we're only playing with faith and we're still playing with sin. We play with faith and we play with sin. And we wonder why we're not getting the victory. You can't do that. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Not trusting the flesh or the power of our own might or our own wisdom or any other earthly thing. That's what we're saying. Not trusting that. We're trusting Him. It's time to stop. I got one more and we'll have to do it next week. Listen. All things are possible. I love that. With God, all things are possible. Then why haven't I seen it? To him that believeth. But I believe. Are you willing to step out on the water? Willing to go out on a limb? Are you willing to actually risk your circumstances, your situation, by actually doing what God has called you to do? There are people who say, well, you know what? Sunday's the only day I have off. And so I need to rest so I can face Monday morning. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you come in here and sleep the way I preach, then you sleep. You need it. But there'll be something. The Holy Spirit lets you get something before you get out the door. I think he'll give you what you needed that day. He'll wake you up or something, get you in time to say that one little thing. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Father, thank you for your blessings. We thank you for speaking to hearts here this morning. I thank you for these dear folks who trekked out here in the cold and the mess and got up early and dug themselves out and put forth the effort to be here. And Lord, they came to hear from you. And Lord, I thank you for speaking to our hearts. Now, Lord, every single one of us probably need to take that next step in our faith. And Lord, be one here this morning does not know Christ as their Savior. The first step of faith is to know that Jesus loves us so much. Now, we're all sinners. Because of our sin, we deserve death and hell. But you love, you commended your love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, you died for us, because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you for the wonderful gift. And Lord, we can receive that gift by faith. So that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, be anyone that doesn't know Christ, I pray the day be the day of their salvation. Maybe the other folks just need to take some steps of faith, just need to walk with you. Maybe they just needed some encouragement, and here this morning, they just want to say, Lord, I want to be on the track. I don't want to be perverting my way. I'm following, Lord, I believe, Lord, but help thou mine unbelief. And I think the Lord will bless that. Lord, speak to our hearts, we ask in Christ's name. Heads are bowed.